The Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, Episode 19. Welcome back to the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast. I'm Jim Gaston, your host. In the last episode of the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, we reviewed an article from the November 1977 issue of Tennis USA magazine, written by Spence Conley, senior editor. The article was titled Royal Lahaina, Pro Watching in Paradise, and featured coverage of the Island Holidays Pro Tennis Classic, also known as the Hawaiian Open. Mr. Conley suggests that conditions were right in Hawaii for a serious case of Polynesian paralysis. Today we review a book titled Who Wrote the Book of Love? By Thomas Farber. Thomas Farber was born in 1944 in Boston. His mother, Norma Holtzman Farber, was an opera singer, poet, novelist, and children's book writer. She wrote more than 30 books, and her poems appeared in the Christian Science Monitor, The Nation, The New Yorker, and The New York Times. His father, Sidney Farber, is the famous pioneer in chemotherapy of cancer and professor of pathology at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Sidney Farber founded the Children's Cancer Research Foundation, which would later become the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Thomas Farber, the author of the book we're reviewing today, did not follow in his father's medical footsteps. He would become a writer, like his mother. Thomas Farber attended Harvard University and graduated at the top of his class in 1965. Mr. Farber would then move to the West Coast and complete a master's degree at the University of California, Berkeley campus. In 1990, Mr. Farber was a visiting distinguished writer at the University of Hawaii. For most of his career, Mr. Farber would teach and write at the University of California, Berkeley, where he is currently a senior lecturer in the Department of English. Mr. Farber has written more than 30 books during the past 50 years. These include 6 works of fiction, 10 literary nonfiction books, and 5 collaborations on photography, 1 screenplay, and 7 epigrammatic works. Some of the most famous writers in history have written epigrams. The original epigrams used by the early Greeks and Romans were a concise poem dealing pointedly or often satirically with a single thought or event and often ending with an ingenious turn of thought. Modern epigrams don't usually rhyme, but are a terse, sage, or witty and often paradoxical saying. Much of Mr. Farber's writings focus on telling short stories using concise and descriptive words. During his long and notable writing career, Mr. Farber has been a commentator on National Public Radio, visiting distinguished writer at the University of Hawaii, and resident scholar at the Rockefeller Foundation at Bellagio. He has received several awards for his writings, such as the Guggenheim Fellowship, National Endowment for the Arts Fellow, and Fulbright Scholar for the Pacific Island Studies. The book we're reviewing today, Who Wrote the Book of Love, is one of Thomas Farber's early nonfiction books. The stories in this book are about men and women. Some are married, some divorced. Some just finding each other, some splitting up. They do not ask each other, what is love? And might not even have an answer to that question. They are too busy living their lives, alone or together, trying to cope with questions less abstract and less momentous. And yet, for the reader, glimpsing the endless variety of such relationships or unraveling the complexities of a single one, the question grows stronger even as the stories supply fragments of the answer. The common theme here is a search for new rules to live by now that the old ones no longer apply. One remarkable achievement of these stories is that in so few words they convey situations where love is not fixed, but growing or diminishing, or perhaps shading over into some other emotion. The story we want to look at today is found on page 68. Note that the stories in this book do not have titles, and there is no table of contents in the book. The book is a series of stories about the complexities of love and the human relationships. The story that begins on page 68 takes place in a harbor somewhere in the South Pacific, where two sailboats are tied up waiting for the weather to improve or gather provisions or otherwise make repairs needed before heading off to the next tropical destination. The two boats are not related, they just happen to be in the same harbor, along with many other boats. Let me read you the first paragraph of the story that sets the stage. More than a century and a half after Lord Nelson said, "Ships and men rot in port," the captains of the yachts tied up in the quay awaiting for the end of the hurricane season could only have confirmed his wisdom. Long since they scraped and painted, tested rigging, sewn torn sails, restocked provisions, taken on fuel, whipped frayed lines, scarfed extra fittings from abandoned boats, bartered with each other for what they couldn't jury-rig or buy, it was left only to wait for the Southeast trades, the great determination that had launched them across the Pacific from the Galapagos or the Marquesas, now steadily eroding in the muggy heat. They drank, womanized, bickered, worried about their diminishing funds. A nautical philosopher, less august but no less acute than Lord Nelson, said, "Boats are floating holes in the water in which one endlessly pours money. Having braved the sea, these mariners now risk going down in the harbor, victims of the unchartered but still dangerous shoals of Polynesian paralysis and the wildly inflated island food prices." The story goes on to describe the interactions and discussions between two boat captains over the decision of a crew member, a young woman, who decides to switch boats. The trouble arises when one captain finds out that his new crew member was also the girlfriend of the other captain. Fortunately, the two boat captains end up discussing the situation over a bottle of rum and eventually come to an agreement, and everyone seems happy. I like the way Mr. Farber describes boats as floating holes into which one endlessly pours money. That reminds me of a story I heard which indicates if you're the type of person that would enjoy owning a boat. First, you make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Then you get a $100 bill and put it in your pocket. Next, you put on your raincoat and you stand in the shower. You turn on the cold water and let it run down your back for about 10 minutes while you eat your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Finally, you step out of the shower, flush the $100 bill down the toilet. If you're still in a good mood, then maybe you're the type of person that would enjoy owning a boat. I asked Mr. Farber if he ever experienced Polynesian paralysis during his time in Hawaii or visits to the South Pacific. He replied no, he doesn't recall succumbing to Polynesian paralysis, but it was a temptation. His New England work ethic may have prevented him. He also notes that writing books is so precarious a venture and vocation that it may make one unable to just let go and go with the flow. However, he also told me that he spent many hours surfing in the Pacific waves. So maybe he did experience Polynesian paralysis, but did not notice it because he was being one with the waves and going with the flow. Also, as you read the words written by Mr. Farber, it's hard to imagine that he did not find some inspiration from the relaxed lifestyle in Hawaii and experienced some moments of stillness that allowed him to create such extensive and excellent works of literature during his career. In the next episode of the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, we look at an article from the April 1977 issue of Latitude 38, a sailing magazine. The article describes an experience of Polynesian paralysis in the Caribbean islands. For more information about Polynesian paralysis, please visit our website at rxaloha.com. Until then, please take a few minutes each day to be still, relax, appreciate nature, and enjoy life. Enjoy Polynesian paralysis, the sensible approach to mindfulness.